Hello, and welcome to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. I'm Anthony Casella.
I'm Donnie Hatfield-Smith.
And I am Quentin Lamar.
Oh my gosh, what's going on, guys? You were on Watch What Happens Live on Sunday night. How was that?
It was long. It was a long process.
It's a half hour show.
It was a cool experience, but yeah, it was long.
I could do it every day for like 3 weeks straight, but it's not Quinn's cup of tea.
Hey, that's fair. I mean, different strokes.
I'm not a great audience member.
That makes sense. I feel like when we would go to The View, Donnie, you and I have gone to The View a few times, and it's always hard to kind of like tap into like audience energy.
It's a required skill, I think. And screaming and clapping at like the blink of an eye is something I can do, but I don't think it's for everybody.
It's not a skill set that I've cultivated over these
years. See, like, I'm now.
I can't fake it. I'm not good at faking it.
And then it's weird, too. Like, in a studio, it is like a collective energy, but just the two of us in our living room on a laptop,
right?
It's very strange.
I could see that. Yeah.
I also wasn't able to phone it in as much as I normally would. So, because, like, it was just us.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's not like someone. There's not energy to like hype off of in the apartment.
Yeah, like I can't just like hide behind somebody like, oh, yeah, I'm clapping. Yeah, see? I can't do that.
Did you see any good, like, I don't know, behind the scenes interaction? Like, did
we did not see Bolo's dick. No, he didn't show.
Oh my gosh. Not Below Deck. I want to thank everyone for sending me lots of Below Deck episodes. I mean, full seasons were recommended. I had what I asked for was season numbers and episode numbers. And some of you were able to oblige. And for that, I'm thankful. And you were able to even tell me like little like log lines of what was happening in each episode. So I'm excited. I haven't gotten to them yet, but I am accruing them, and they're going on a list in my notes app, and I will be watching that. Still not going to lift a finger for Summer House, but I will be joining the Yachties on Below Deck.
I wonder if you'll be one of the select few to get that package now. Did you see that thing that like all these Bravo influencers are getting? Not all of them. We didn't. but Oh No Bravo and Bravo While Black and some of our other friends, they got like a Below Deck gift bag that came with a personalized robe and like a flask and all of this like yachting stuff in preparation of the new season. So hopefully you're on the list now that you're an avid viewer.
Well, that's chic. I mean, I have less than 300 followers on Instagram, so I'm getting nothing. I'm getting nothing. But I would take it happily. But I don't see it in the cards. Donnie, what's happening in the news?
I didn't pick much for this week, but I did pick a topic that I felt like we could talk about at length. And that is the Housewives All-Stars season that is in the works or brewing. So no real news has been announced, just that it's happening. But the cast that we think we're getting are four cities. They're doing the ones that have been around the longest. Not OC, but we're fine with that.
Yeah, and that was interesting to me. I mean, I know OC took a deep, dark dive in quality, but when your legacy city of legacy cities,
right,
your origin city is in such disarray that you can't pick two people to represent it, that's tough.
The only thing I can think of, and let me list who they did pick, and then we can like hypothesize why they didn't pick anyone from OC. Let me do that. So they picked from Beverly Hills, they picked Kyle and Rinna. From Atlanta, they picked Kenya and Cynthia. New York is Ramona and Sonia. And New Jersey is Teresa and Melissa. So each city is like the legacy woman that's been there since season one, and then like her, or not, Kenya's not been there since season one, but the woman that's been there the longest, and then like her closest ally. And I feel like OC doesn't have a woman that's been there the longest right now.
No, they fired both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah. I'm excited. But I feel like we do this thing with Bravo and Andy where like Andy says something and then when that thing comes, we either like pretend he didn't say it or it's not true by the time we get there.
Yeah.
So like in the past, Andy has said they would only do an All-Stars when Housewives, the whole kind of galaxy, was on its last legs. It does not to me feel as new cities are sprouting up and we are reviving old ones, that it feels like Housewives is on the way out.
Yeah, no, I think when he said it, he meant it. But because of COVID, we are required to like incorporate new rules and new productions. And that's why like there's rumors of Watch What Happens Live getting like a game show spinoff. And now they're doing the Winter House. So I know that they are reaching for new shows to incorporate and put in the lineup. So I think they had to go back on their word.
That makes sense. It might be like a different, it might be a different landscape.
Yeah. Because I think they're only filming for like 2 weeks in Mexico. So once they're quarantined, you just throw them in a house and then that basically is their quarantine time.
I just hope somebody goes after Melissa Gorga. I just want that to happen. Like, you know, he always picks somebody to like destroy, and I just hope it's Melissa Gorga. You know, not because I hate her. I think it'll be good for her. Like, it'll like make her, you know, tougher.
I am curious to see who Kenya goes up against, because I see Kenya as the problem. Ramona as the problem.
I think Kenya will be the solution. I think whoever's the problem first will be who Kenya goes after. Like, you know, on Big Brother and shows like that, whoever like plays too hard first is the one that ends up going home first. I know no one's going home, but I think like whoever decides to act up first is just who Kenya will go after. And I think that could be either Teresa or Ramona.
It's whoever she's going to see as a threat, because whenever you're a threat to her, you got to be taken down. Maybe it's the beauty pageant part of her, but it's like what she did with Vivica Fox on The Apprentice. Like, she was like, I'm the black bitch here. Like, she, I see her do it again and again. Great. If you haven't seen that episode of The Apprentice, please watch it. It's great.
On YouTube, though, so we don't give, you know, him.
On YouTube. You don't have to see really him at all, but you have to see the part where Vivica Fox calls her a trick and, yeah.
Wait, who's he? Oh, he.
He
with a capital T. Okay.
A lowercase T.
With a capital
A baby K-K-K. T according to Stormy Daniels.
a little orange baby T. I'm excited for it.
Baby T.
Me
I think
too.
It'll be good. I mean, without knowing anything aside from a rumored cast, I have hope. I've been asked, and we can discuss it here because I don't know the answer. Are we watching Miami?
I'm not opposed to it. We have Peacock. I watched the whole Punky Brewster reboot, so might as well watch Housewives.
Yeah, I have Peacock as well. Miami didn't set me on fire as a city, so I'm like on the fence about what this means with my engagement with it. I would like them to reboot DC. That I would watch.
Here's the thing about us covering stuff. I know we're a Housewives podcast, and we're here to do the work, but at the end of the day, we are unpaid. So if it feels like work, I'm not doing it.
Well, we could put it to the viewer, the listeners. We could ask them if they want us to cover it.
Yeah.
Well, let's do a poll.
Okay.
Right.
We're agreeing.
Don't whitesplain my idea. I said that already.
For our nobies. What are they called?
Know-it-alls. We did a poll already. Nobies lost.
No, I wanted what did I want?
Know that.
No-mies.
I wanted nobies. Like showgirls.
I'm familiar.
All right. Okay.
We're all familiar.
Let's do it. We'll do a poll. And then if you do want us to do so if you vote for us to do to cover Miami and it's bad, then you also have to donate to buy me a coffee.
Oh, whoa.
That's fair. That's fair.
Is it?
Yeah. This is a woman's world, honey. I don't know.
I'm not voted. Fine.
Could be. I am excited about I'm excited about our guests today who we'll be bringing out for a little bit just to touch on Salt Lake. These are personal friends, and this is the one housewife city that kind of got under their skin and got them watching. So we're going to kind of dissect this third episode of the reunion and the city itself, the first season, with Meredith and Scott Jorce in a little bit. We are joined by Meredith and Scott Jorce, the DC sup couple. Hello, both.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Thank you for being
Welcome
here.
To the pod.
Thank you for having us.
Super excited.
Now, this is, I don't want to say low stakes, but I basically feel like we are just kind of having a conversation that we have on text, Marco Polo, about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which we'll be talking about. But tell us first, explain to people what is SUP, and then kind of talk a little bit about your account and how people could follow you. Scott, tell us.
Well, SUP, stand-up paddle boarding. For those who don't know, it's surfing with a paddle, basically, but you can do it on flat water, rivers, and the ocean. It's a ton of fun.
So this is exercise?
Not necessarily. You can just be as lazy as one. You can do SUP yoga.
Love that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
I like that. How did you get into it?
I started doing it up here in the D.C. area. 11, 12 years ago, I was one of the first people on the river paddling. And then an owner of an outfitter asked me if I wanted to teach lessons. I was like, OK.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting. You know, a personal dream of mine was to get Meredith on The Real Housewives of Potomac. Where are we with that, Meredith?
They don't have a white woman.
Probably too boring for that.
No, not as a wife. You could teach them how to do it.
Oh,
that was, as soon as I heard there was a Potomac crew, I was like, gotta get them.
That was actually one of Scott's dreams too.
So
it's a shared dream of both of you.
Oh yeah, I wanted that so bad.
That would be great. We could still make it happen. Now, if people want to follow you and learn more about SUP, where can they do that?
We are on Instagram as DC SUP Couple. It's our kind of personal little blog that we have. We have a website, dcsupcouple.com, but you can find us on Instagram.
Fun. And I've been following you for quite a while, just a few moments ago. So, all right, let's talk about Salt Lake. That's why you're here, really. Now, Meredith, I have dragged you into the housewives world. Like, you've had like one arm in, one arm out. I know you were heavy into New York during season 3, Scary Island, and you recently watched like New York, Beverly Hills, but you stayed the course with Salt Lake this season. And Scott got involved as well. Why were you both into this city? Like, what did it for you?
Well, I think it spoke to us because we're big snowboarders. So we, in the wintertime, we're always outside doing stuff. So I dragged Scott along because there was the tease of seeing these women skiing and snowboarding in Utah, where we have been, and we've been to these resorts. So I was interested just because, yes, you kind of have sucked me back into the housewives world a little bit with New York and Beverly Hills. But I think that's what probably got you interested.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, two words, boredom and quarantine.
All right. So Scott's a big fan.
So I've turned into a huge fan.
Yeah, it's a great show. And before we get into it, so like, yeah, you've been to Salt Lake a lot. How does, if at all, your experience in Salt Lake, do you see like the world that you inhabit when you visit there on the show at all? Or is it almost like two different worlds? I know the women aren't skiing a lot, but do you recognize one time, right?
One time.
Do you like recognize any of the restaurants or anything, or is it like basically a world in TV that you don't recognize?
Well, so to clarify, we have been to Salt Lake, but that's where you fly into to get to the local resort. So we've
Got
spent
it.
Very little time in Salt Lake just for like waiting for other friends to get to the airport and whatnot. So we've seen the Great Salt Lake. It's beautiful. Highly recommend going to see it.
Little shopping district.
There's a Patagonia outlet there. So we have very minimal experience with Salt Lake itself, but we knew when we saw this teased that there would be a lot of Park City.
Park City, we know Park City much better than.
And those we've seen, we do recognize, like the main street and whatnot.
Different spots.
Not necessarily restaurants, but it's fun to like we recognize the resorts and Park City.
One of my personal dreams is once it is safe to do so, I have to visit Salt Lake City. Like I can't wait. Please.
I just want to see you on skis.
I would Quinn's next birthday party, do the big trip out west.
Ooh. That would be fun.
If you get out of this house, I would do anything now. Like I'm right. This would be the time to ask me to do anything.
let's talk about this episode. Okay, so it's the third part of the reunion. They brought out the husbands, and the husbands joined the women, some in person and some like Hunger Games behind the women sitting. I was kind of tickled by Robert Senior and Mary and their bickering and her telling him like, don't be embarrassing. How did you all feel about, I guess, their display at the reunion? And bigger question would be like, where are you leaving this couple? Like when you're leaving and we're done with this season, like what are your thoughts on Robert and Mary?
This little bicker session was the first time I viewed them as she acted like his granddaughter. Like I felt like she was embarrassed that he was acting up in front of her friends. And throughout the season, I've said like, oh, their relationship is actually, it seems normalish, even though he's her grandfather. This is when I looked and said, oh, he is her grandfather.
I thought she zipped it when he started speaking. I mean, she seemed very quiet and just listening to her. At one point she did say, or he said, don't embarrass me. She said it. But it was hard to understand what he was saying, but she was like respectful when he was speaking.
Quinn, have you never said to Donnie, don't embarrass me?
Not in those words. It usually comes out like, stop drinking now. But yeah, I do think that couples do that to each other.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt like in a way we saw, like I could see myself saying that to Scott. I probably actually said that to him before we came on this podcast. So, I mean, I kind of felt like there was a little bit, there were other moments between the wives and the husbands and the interactions that made me feel a certain way. But that interaction between the two of them didn't really bother me. I felt like it was kind of real.
What ones made you feel a certain way?
I felt there were moments where I felt like when some of the husbands were like, there was something endearing about, I think like Jen and Mary, like at that moment with their husbands, bringing the crew together and like, let bygones be bygones. But in a way it also felt like they were speaking on behalf of the wives. And that in the moment, I just felt weird about that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that. I do think, I mean, I love Coach Shaw. So I loved him being able to like broker peace in a way between Mary and Jen. And I just liked his whole like calming effect. Like he was very, his vibe is very like neutral. Like he was speaking and defending his wife while also letting like the aggrieved party know, I had to speak to Jen about that behavior. Like it's a very kind of like interesting.
It's like a parent-teacher conference.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. He's always like Denzel Washington and Remember the Titans before they take the field. It's weird how he can be so like balanced and logical, and he's married basically to this cartoon character. I love it, but you know, he's a little preachy.
Yeah, coaches sayings for sure. I mean,
yeah,
and he'd be a great motivational speaker. He'd be a great,
yes. Yeah,
for sure.
That book should be being written now, so she can like do that. It probably is. Yeah, a pep talk.
What is it, like Coach Shaw pep talk? I need to talk to you, Coach.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Coach Shaw would be an incredible motivational speaker. You should pursue it. Okay, so we learned a little bit about, Justin and Whitney like cried a lot about his being asked to leave the church. And then Heather cried too. And Andy was like, were you asked to leave the church? And she said, no. So she just had a lot of feelings happening. I mean, this might betray feelings I'll get into later. I felt as though Heather was doing a lot, if not this entire reunion, this episode. Thoughts on any of it?
I never liked
her. I'll let somebody else go first.
Oh, wow.
From the get-go. Now, I do have a bit of a history.
With Heather?
No, not at all. She just reminds me of someone in my past that was real me too. I'm never wrong. You're not acting. It doesn't matter who was acting a certain way. They were always acting improperly compared to what she thought how you should be reacting or acting.
Mm. We've always been a house divided over Heather. He did not like Heather from the very beginning, and I always loved Heather from the beginning. But I do feel like she's been knocked down a few pegs in my mind as the reunion has progressed.
I mean, I love Heather. Like Heather, I've had a crush on Heather for a while, but I do think she's changed. I can't say if it's for the good or the bad, but I see a difference between how she talks to people, how she handles things. It's like almost to the point where I have to like question how genuine it was, because like normally people don't change that much that quickly. So then after thinking and judging like how she was when she met men and how she was, you know, I'm like, were you just like playing us, like, you know, that game she was spinning at that brother? I don't know. But I am like, kind of like, let's see what you do from here on out, because I'm kind of looking at you sideways.
I think that she saw the fan reaction she was getting throughout the season. So she came in with her like feathers fluffed up, thinking that she was bigger than she is. And now I think she will see the fan reaction she's getting from the reunion and hopefully go into season two. I don't want to say more behaved, but more behaved.
Yeah, I think she's going to be the villain next season. I think, yeah, I mean, that's not shocking.
Right.
A shocking, groundbreaking thought. But I think she's going to be the villain.
It was interesting that we last week, but then like kind of compared to how she acted in this last part and the first part, we got so much of what her behavior was like when she didn't think that they were being filmed. And it was very much like, what did she say to Lisa? Like, you're in last place, like as she was texting. And it was very kind of surprising, like, who is this person? And it was not the person that she was when the cameras were on. And it was very much like she was touched by everyone's story and she's like the victim, except like the face slipped a little bit. I'm kind of bouncing all over. Slipped a little bit when they were talking, when she was fighting and talking to Jen at the end. And I saw like a little bit of maybe who Heather tries to cover up, and it just kind of came out. I don't know. It's so sad to be soured on Heather, but I am.
Scott feels excited that we're all there with him now.
Scott feels validated.
I don't know. I mean, I don't wish any ill will, for sure, you know? But I think I saw right through the facade. Exactly what you just said, Anthony. Like, when she's not being filmed, she's, like you said, second place, she's MFing everybody. And then the cameras come on, and she goes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I is Lisa right that Heather is a professional victim?
I'm sure Scott would agree.
Oh yeah,
I'm nodding his head.
I'm nodding my head. Absolutely.
Scott, this is a podcast.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yes, Anthony. Quinn, thank you for saying that.
I mean, I wouldn't have said it before, but I see it now, as much as I hate to agree with Lisa, but I see it. I also, why were Whitney and her husband so emotional talking about the church? I never got the sense during the season that they were all that sad about it, or was that like pent up, or what was happening with that?
I think they just never had to reference it head on, really. Like when they sat and said, we were kicked out, I think that's when they cried. But before, it was 10 years ago. So I think that it was something that wasn't great that happened to them, but now it's just like part of their lives. They're living it after being kicked out. But to sit down and say like, this is what happened, this is why it happened, I think that tugs at emotions a little more. Maybe. Or maybe they were acting too.
I mean, I got kicked out of my church, but that's just because I went to college and I stopped making donations. But I got a letter in the mail and it was definitely not emotional for me.
I got kicked out of the Boy Scouts.
Similar to what happened with Justin and Whitney, then it sounds
very
like.
Similar. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like that sounds like the same thing. What do we think about the peace that was brokered between Jen and Mary? Are they going to go on double dates next year? Are they friends?
No. I definitely see the husbands maybe start texting each other back and forth, but I don't see them ever reconcile. I mean, That was harsh in those first couple of shows.
Yeah, really I were. Agree.
I'd love to see it though. I would love to see a progression in their storyline, especially Mary's. I need more. Similar to how I need more from others like Meredith, but I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it would be different. It would be like a different look for both of them.
It would, yeah.
I don't think it'll last though, because even when Mary announced to her husband that they were friends, she was like, "Yeah, we made up." I don't think they like agreed that they really made up when she said that. But then now that it was on the floor, then the husbands kind of went with it and said like, "Oh, it's great you two made up. This is what will happen, blah blah blah." But I think like for the time being they made up, but I don't think it was ever in the plans to continue this. And now they have to.
I'm not going to make up. I don't think Jen can forgive anybody. And so she's certainly not going to forgive Mary for the comment about the hospital smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just don't see it happening. It'll come back up.
And Mary is so emotional as well, where I feel like as soon as Jen says whatever Jen is going to say to Mary, they'll be back at square one again.
Oh, she'll put her hand up and just don't talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I hope they get over the hospital smell. I mean, it was kind of like one of the dumbest.
I'm sorry for bringing that up. I apologize.
No, it's okay. It had like too long of a shelf life for me in terms of a fight.
But that's exactly my point, Anthony. She won't be able to drop that.
Right.
Yeah. You're probably right. I mean, I think we had an idea that something bad had happened because the previews for the reunion showed Whitney crying, saying that she hoped the show didn't break him being her father. And then we learned at this third part that Whitney and her father have not been in communication for what sounds like.
So sad.
Yeah, sounds like for quite a while, won't respond to her texts, and she's reaching out multiple times a week. This was sad. I mean, I think, of course, we were all like rooting for Whitney's dad, and we don't exactly know what's happened. Yeah. I hope he's okay. I got the sense that he's maybe off the grid and at least not communicating with like anyone in Whitney's family. Because, I mean, these things are happening and we're watching them, and it's obviously reality in a sense, but it's a reality within a show. I wonder if there isn't some like anger or, I don't know, regret that he was so open about his story on national TV. I mean, that's a lot of assumptions, but I wonder if it's something about him being on the show that is a divide for them.
I think the addictive personality can go in so many different directions. So many different speeds. You're thinking popularity, I can get my business back going again. And all of a sudden, oh, what is this person going to think about me? You know, she, and when I say she, I mean, thank you, Whitney. She's talking the talk, and I think she's walking the walk too. She's using all the proper terms and terminology when speaking with him and about him. As addiction goes, man, you can, I speak a little bit of authority on this, but you can get off the elevator at any stop, and he maybe just hasn't reached his bottom yet. I hope that's not the case. I hope he's getting help and is not communicating until he's in a headspace where he can communicate. That's what I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking that too. I was thinking that after all the time of like letting her down and everything, that maybe he just like needs some time before he reaches out to her again. I hope that's the case, because she's like, to me, it's very touching, because like, you know, I have a parent who's had a problem with substance abuse. So like, I understand how difficult that is on a child, how you want your parent to be better. And sometimes they don't get better when you need them to or want them to. So I love that that's something she was honest about on the show, and I hope it works out and that he contacts her. But it was sad to see.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely broke my heart when she started crying and said, I haven't heard
from
her. I am interested to see how her story progresses next season, just because that was the bulk of what her storyline was. And I feel like that's only one piece of her life, obviously, and it's not even her piece necessarily. It's her dad. And so I would love to learn more about Whitney and who she is and what her life is like. So I hope that we see more of that next season, in addition to seeing her dad come back around.
I didn't even know she had kids for a while. I was like, I didn't even know.
Yeah. We saw them quickly at her, not wedding, her vow renewal at the beginning of the series, but I don't even know if I knew that they were hers. Like, I just knew she...
They were like wedding children.
Yeah.
Like adopted flower girls. I didn't know who I thought they were. All right. This is a hard right turn. But Meredith clams up about not wanting to talk about her marriage. And she says, why would I talk about my marriage in front of these women? And my answer is because you're on a reality show. What's going through Meredith's head? Why is she on the show? Get off the show.
Get off the show.
Yeah. I was a fan in the very, very beginning, but that quickly changed because I just like, give me something. There's just nothing.
No.
Yeah, it's very.
Oh, that wig.
Never addressed the wig in the confessional.
Yeah.
That is like the biggest problem for me.
Talk about Mary's hair, but you don't pick up.
I know. How can we talk about wig. Mary's hair, but then you're not going to talk about Meredith's wig?
Right.
I don't know.
Am I dumb? I didn't realize Mary's hair was a problem all season.
Are you kidding me? It looked like she always just took off a sweater over her head. It always was a mess.
Wool cashmere sweater.
And she has way too much money.
Mary's hair was like, Katie Ross levels bad.
It was.
Oh, I didn't notice it.
To me, as a Black person, it was the first way I knew that she was a chaotic woman. Because, like, if you see a Black woman whose hair is like that, she got some shit going on. If her hair is not at the top of the list, she got some real problems.
See, I thought someone said it looks like a sweater, like she took off a sweater. Yes, like I thought it was just like staticky, but I thought it was like how the hair was laying for the moment. Meaning like if she ran her fingers through her hair, it would have been fine. Meredith's like hairstyle and the wig in that confessional is awful. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought it was like a different, I don't know. I thought it was like circumstantial why Mary's hair was so bad.
Yeah, but the circumstance wasn't there. Mary didn't go anywhere. Mary was in her closet every episode. So why couldn't she do this? She was in front of a mirror.
I don't know. It's a good question.
And I've always been of the mind that having a wig that looks a mess, like there's no excuse for it. You can take that bitch off and look at it and like, damn, I got a hole in the back. You know, you can do something with that.
True. I blame Brooks.
Do you have experience with wigs?
I date a lot of drag queens.
Donnie's more than a drag queen.
No, I'm the one with the bad. I'm the chaotic wig energy he speaks of.
Oh my god.
He had good experience before that. Pulled a wig out of a box, and that looks like that's what Mary does too.
Takes it and just goes.
Okay, so let's jump to some things that are revealed that Jen has said about Heather, which for me colored in some lines. If the timeline makes sense as to why by the end of the season, Heather would have been so angry with her. Jen referred to Heather as thinking she's an actress, but the only roles she would be able to get are a manatee or Shrek. And also says that she shops off the rack at Dress Barn. These are...
As catty as that is, it probably really is like a dagger.
Well, yeah.
those are great reads, but not for your best friend.
Right.
Best friends, you're right. Oh,
that's tough stuff.
That is. but it sure makes me giggle.
I mean, it makes a good TV. I mean,
I was kind of surprised. I don't really, this happened on social media. Donnie, did you know about this before they brought it up?
And do we have verification?
No, and I'm
yes.
I'm on Google right now. Jen Shah, Shrek, Heather.
In the trenches.
Yeah, and everything that I'm finding is just like recaps of this episode. I'm not seeing an actual tweet from her. There
were a lot of things that were brought up in this reunion that supposedly happened over social, I think, after it aired.
Yeah.
So there's been a theme around that I feel like I watched one thing and then I came to this reunion and was like, I'm sorry, wait, what are you talking about? What happened?
I understand that it's a lot. I feel like it's when you watch Big Brother and then have to watch the live feeds too. But this, usually they do a good job of like showing it. But this time they didn't, for the Shrek stuff and the manatee stuff, they didn't show it.
I want receipts.
You're right. They didn't show the tweets. Exactly. Like,
right.
Huh. it was interesting. Jen didn't deny it though. She was more like, oh, you're talking about this.
she actually smiled.
They're good reads.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good. You know, I like Heather, but I mean, when they get you, they get you.
Jen certainly got her. Okay, the reunion ends on kind of a note that for me felt like it was biting off more than it could chew for what it was trying to tackle. And, you know, the way that it wrapped it up was it brought out meatballs to each woman, But before that, they're talking about their time in Vegas. And Jen talks about going to, was it a psychic? An energy healer?
Healer.
Yeah. Who, and I don't think we knew this previously, Jen is saying had kind of like silenced her. And for 4 hours, Jen was hearing about how no one liked her and she was a bully. And she brings up in direct relation, I would say, to Heather and Whitney, but it seems to flow out a little bit throughout the cast about how, she was labeled aggressive for her behavior during the season. And she tries to explain to them how that label hits differently for a woman of color and how that could be damaging and how it is triggering her from past experiences as a woman of color in Salt Lake. Whitney and Heather, to various degrees, push back either a little bit on the sentiment of what she's saying. Heather at one point says, I don't need you to educate me. In that moment, while Whitney says she's open to learning, a complicated subject, but I'll just open it up and say, what were your thoughts on this?
You know, the last thing the world needs is another white dude telling a woman of color, you know, her feelings. And it just, all I'm going to say is that, in my opinion, if you throw a glass, if you point to somebody's face and you're shaking it and yelling at them, and there was another, splashing water on all the camera equipment, threatening somebody, you're aggressive. And I mean, and my last thought I would say is that Andy didn't know which direction to go. He was taken back. He was like, cut, we're going to end this show, bring out the goddamn meatballs. We got to get, I mean, he didn't want to touch it at all. It seemed like this was new territory. He wasn't expecting it, I think.
I almost feel like there were two things happening here. I think what Jen was saying, and again, I can't speak for anybody, but I feel as though what she was saying, like there's obvious like validity and what her feelings and experiences are. But I feel like that might have been separate from like what we as an audience were looking to Jen to like to own her behavior. And I feel like they're two different buckets, and Jen never really was held accountable for those actions that we as viewers saw. But she was speaking truth to her experience that we saw a piece of on the show, but couldn't really kind of relate to or understand. So I almost feel like there was a big disconnect in what we were watching.
And as far as Jen being, I don't want to say the victim, but the victim of what she's saying is happening, that is one issue. But then the other woman of color, you are the one that terrorized her this whole season.
That's interesting. I didn't even put that together. You're right. Yeah. Interesting view.
I think what Bravo or what Andy Cohen is doing here is, I think he was shell-shocked from what happened with Potomac. So I think that's like the most racial he's ever had to get. And I think that perhaps like with casting Tiffany Moon and casting Jen, maybe he felt that he could get diversity without a lot of the problems that go along with it. Because they are non-Black people of color, but those people still have issues. Her feelings about that, as far as she's Polynesian, she's of a darker skin. When I started watching the show, I didn't know exactly what Jen was. I thought she may have been partially Black. I didn't know. So if I assume that, then that means that she gets all of the negative things that come with that.
Right.
So part of me has always been like, Jen goes hard, like she's a Black woman. And then it's like, but to look at her reality of her Black husband, her Black children, that's clearly what she lives with and goes through. I think that they should have listened to that, but at the same time, she is throwing stuff. She is splashing cameramen. Now we can have a conversation about like, why is she seen that way and not Teresa from New Jersey, maybe? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something there, but I don't think that shutting down that conversation was a good move for anybody, not for Heather to do it, not for Annie to try to pivot away from it. If it went there and it's being talked about, they should have got into it and dug into it. And I don't think they had the time.
Yeah, it felt very jarring how it ended too, to Anthony's point, yeah, with meat on a stick.
So that being said, they could have edited out a whole bunch of real boring stuff,
yeah,
before this and really address this. Because I would say that I bet there's tape that they just decided not to put on, that they talked about this. And they just decided to end it. That's what I think. Production.
Yeah.
They could go in so many different directions.
I'm talking about production this whole season. Oh, I had to remind him the whole time. It's produced.
I do like how like Jen like nodded to like Mary, like, you know, you're a woman of color, and Mary was like, kinda. Sometimes.
Sometimes. This happens once.
Yeah, but for them to show after the conversation with Whitney about her father, and then he asks, is that a wig or real hair? If we have time to show that, we have time to get into this conversation.
I totally
That's
agree.
True. But I have to admit, that. I am very happy that we got an answer on that, because I did want to know. I did want to know. I was curious. I'm not going to lie. I wanted to know. I'm glad he asked.
I want to know why he chose that hairstyle. Like, who told him that was a good look, especially for somebody who cuts other people's hair?
I think it shows him. He's good. I think it shows him. Quinn, I agree. I wanted to know as well. And I think Andy probably had it on his card no matter what to ask. And I don't know if Andy knew what the answer was going to be for how her father was doing. And was like, well, I'm going to ask it anyway. I am happy to know.
I sleep better at night.
Are we back on Whitney again? I'm sorry. We're bouncing back and forth here.
Scott, you got to keep up, Scott. Can I assure that Scott didn't know that these women were being paid up until a few weeks ago?
Wait, they're getting money too?
It was a very educational experience for Scott to learn about the housewives.
I loved how they all showed up with paperwork at the first reunion. Roll the camera! And they're pulling out all the copies of tweets. And I'm like, you need evidence for this?
Yes, we do, because she should have came with that Shrek text.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, can we talk about
manatee?
I don't mean
that's what did me in.
To run the show, but can we talk about the elephant in the room with Whitney's cleavage?
Did you like that, Scott?
No,
he didn't actually.
I didn't.
Wow. Oh, okay.
I liked her before. I wanted to have a threesome before. I don't now.
Wow.
Yeah.
He heard she was a swinger, so he thought he would take a shot.
Swinger.
Scott. He heard it from Lisa.
Scott,
he called her up on that tin can.
Scott, this is a very different energy than we normally have on the podcast. I believe you are our first straight man on the podcast. That has to be right, right?
That can't be true.
Congratulations.
Well, I'm honored, number one. But really?
Yeah. So wait, you did not like Whitney's cleavage?
No, I thought they were way too high.
Okay.
Wait.
All right.
It's good, because mine's a lot lower. So.
And no, they're not. Yours are perfect. Anyways, now that everybody knows.
Well, this is audio only. So if people were listening and saying, I wonder what her boobs look like, now they know.
Well, DC sub couple.
we also know now what kind of boobs Scott likes. Like, he doesn't want to hide something you can drop down into a face. I get it. You know.
Oh my God. This is
thanks for that visual, Brad. I really appreciate it.
I got you.
Thank you.
Okay, one thing back to Jen really quick. And I have been notoriously hard on Jen early in the season when I didn't like how kind of like fake and fabulous I thought everything was. I've been very compelled by second half season Jen, I have to say. I don't really know how fans are reacting, but to something Quinn said, like, Jen's behavior this year is nothing that she can't come back from. And it's not even a quarter of the worst behavior that we've seen on any of these shows. Lisa Rinna's thrown glasses, Teresa's thrown glasses and tables. Teresa's been physical with people. I understand we would categorize what Jen did to Heather as, I'm putting it in quotes, hit her, but it was like a swat. at worst. Yeah, it was not like
it was. And like I have to bring up whenever people bring up the whole scene with Beverly Hills and Lisa Rinna. Lisa Rinna did not just break that glass. She clawed at Kim's throat. She tried to get it. She did not get it.
She did.
But she tried to.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Were people taking to Jen's behavior worse than those past incidents? Because I considered it like the women of the city were of Salt Lake were making her behavior a bigger deal than the women of Beverly Hills made Rinna's. So I just thought it was the women. But are fans reacting to Jen in more of a way?
Jen's than the other ego women? On social media. Jen on social media is going to be her downfall, not necessarily her on the show. If she could act one way on the show and then explain that and say, like, the women are making this a big deal, what I did was this, or if she could explain herself or even apologize for things, that would be one thing. But she just always kind of doubles down on things. And then also there was just audio leaked of her talking to one fan about like all these other fans. And he screen recorded it and released it. So like, not only is she like being troublesome online, but now the people that are her fans, she's talking shit about.
I love that audio recording.
I know.
Smoking gun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Mary trying to eat the snow at the end.
By hands down, my favorite moment of the entire season was her sticking her tongue out and eating the fake snow.
After she says it's not real.
Oh my God. The visual. Amazing.
So, but like,
you know, God looks after babies and fools, and she ain't no baby.
Wait, Quinn, is that from your mom? Is that from your mom? Did your mom say that?
My grandma said.
Your grandma. Okay, there you go.
It applies.
Yes.
What was the fake snow made of? Because Jen said her hair was going to frizz.
I think this.
Yes,
stuff.
That too.
Do you know what it's made of?
It's certainly not anything with H2O in it. The make hair frizz. Are you kidding me? It's probably just confetti.
No, it looked like when you go to like foam parties.
Oh, the foam, right.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never been to a foam party, thank you.
I remember going to foam parties, guys.
No.
I don't think I've ever been to a foam party.
Scott, I'll tell you all about them. They were my formative years.
Okay, one last thing before we let you go. Unless it doesn't apply to you, then we could let you go now. Does anyone feel like they started this series loving one housewife and kind of like most disliking another? And then those two people are completely different, meaning like the person you would say is your favorite and the person you would say is your least favorite. Has that changed like dramatically from the beginning to the end? Like,
I can think of one right now.
Scott, let's hear it.
For me, it's Lisa Tequila, as I call her.
Wait, Lisa Tequila.
I started liking her at the second reunion show. I thought she was boring. I thought she was hair flipping. I thought really nothing going on. Nothing.
Yeah.
And except for the whole big gulp thing all the time.
She won you over.
Oh, dude, she's coming back strong.
In the reunion.
I love her.
Dude, she came in there on fire.
Definitely. I'm with you. So I am shocked to say I started the show most liking Heather and least liking Jen. And leaving the show, I'm most like Lisa and I least like Heather.
Yeah.
My reaction to Heather has been so negative this reunion. I didn't
welcome
like it.
Anthony. Welcome.
Wow. I mean, my opinions are like the wind, so I'll be back. But she was just like drinking her own Kool-Aid. Does anyone else have any kind of like far swings with who they like and dislike from since the beginning?
No, Meredith's always been consistently at the bottom for me, and she still is. As far as the best, I came in with Jen Shah as my number one, and she's not anymore, but I don't know who is. Like, I have my least favorite, and then everyone else is just kind of above her, not in any particular order.
Yeah, same with me. I really loved Whitney and Heather in the beginning, and it's not that I dislike them, but they're all just kind of meh right now.
Yeah.
So not as binary as I made my decisions.
I came in really liking Heather, and I don't dislike her, but I'm kind of like mad on her a little bit too. And I didn't like Mary, but now I still don't know what the fuck to do with her. Like she's, she has like these weird lucid dream moments. I don't know what to call them. Like she, I don't know.
I was saying it earlier, when it's not about her, she is lucid and makes sense. And it's almost like a motivational speaker way. Like when she was talking, I don't even remember who she was talking to, but she can say like what she's feeling and what you should do with your life. But then anything directed at her, it's like she never spoke before.
That's pretty accurate.
She definitely should never defend herself in court.
Like that, could you imagine?
I'm excited to see what we get of her next year, when she's like more ingrained in the cast and out of the closet.
God help us. That.
All right. Well, Scott and Meredith Joris, thank you for being with us. This was fun. You're going to watch next year, right?
We watch it live, by the way. We don't wait till we have time to do it the next day.
Live.
As soon as you do. Yeah.
They have to turn on Wednesday for it. So
I think it's time for meatballs.
I'm expecting a delivery, right?
And Whitney's breasts.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Right.
Thank you both. Thank you, everyone, go
thanks
follow
for coming.
These two on DC Sup Couple.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right, let's roll right into New Jersey. So we got clarification that the allegation against Evan involves him saying he's going to the gym and then going to cheat. This cleared up some things for me because I thought the cheating was taking place at the gym.
Wait, you thought he was having sex at the gym?
That's what it was like worded as in the first episode.
I mean, I know Teresa isn't a wordsmith, but she said, do you hear that he goes to the gym and does stuff? What am I to do? What am I to think?
I assume that she meant he was flirting at the gym. And then, you know, outside of the gym, other things happened. I did not think that he, you know, they were doing anything together.
That's why we talked about, do straight people do that last week?
I know, but I never, that wasn't a thing. I wonder if this is somebody that goes to his gym, like, I feel like this is something that could come out and be found.
Right. If nothing came out during the season already, I feel like once that first episode aired, it would have came out. Like, yeah. I feel like now that it's on TV for a week, if anything was happening, someone would have found it.
Agreed. So probably just like a weird Teresa lie, right?
I think it seemed very much like Whitney at Cook Shaw's birthday. Like, clearly a producer said it. She was drunk and then went on a whirlwind.
I feel like Margaret's going to have to answer to Teresa a little bit. Not that I think she should, but definitely saying a lot of things like, why can't Teresa get this through her like tiny little brain? And some things that are like going against Teresa in a way that I don't think Teresa will take too kindly to.
Yeah.
Margaret tells Jackie, this will be made right. Is this going to be made right? What do you think?
Well, Teresa and Jackie stand next to each other for a photo, at least, at the Halloween finale. So it's made right in enough of a way where they can be together again. But I don't know what happens.
Jackie and Teresa love to fight. I think they'll get past it, they'll whatever. But I think that's just the function of their relationship. So...
Really?
I don't think it'll be something. Yeah, they've been fighting since she joined the cast.
Jackie gets under Teresa's skin. I think it's like Jackie's a writer and she's educated and she's a lawyer. And I think those things, like any idea that someone is out of reach intellectually from Teresa and they make it known, I think like gets her fur up in a way that it doesn't other people. Probably because there's insecurity there.
Yeah.
As there should be.
Yeah, I mean, Teresa's just not getting it, and I'm jumping all over. She doesn't get what she did was wrong. She blames Jennifer for giving her tequila. She uses kind of, not analogies, but comparisons to things that have happened in the past that don't really apply to what Teresa did. And the editing even seems to contradict her when Teresa says, where I come from, girls want to know. But Teresa's never wanted to know about Juicy Joe.
Well, somebody said, what was it, Margaret? Or somebody said, like, if there's no pictures, then no. Right. Oh, no, she pointed out the fact that when Jackie said it, there were pictures.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true.
It's not something I would be comfortable coming to one of my friends about. Like, if I didn't know for sure, like, if I just heard, I wouldn't feel like, I wouldn't say shit.
Yeah.
So.
And also, it's probably rare in straight couples, but you also never know what, like, the situation is. Like, you could think you're talking about something, but you're actually just, like, adhering to a social norm that doesn't exist for that couple. Probably not the case with Jackie and Evan, but you never know. I'm happy Jackie stayed home from the trip. I'm also happy we haven't gotten to see her parents yet. What I don't need to see is Jackie cutting hair in the backyard.
And that's what I was saying to Quinn earlier. I hate when they don't go on the trip because that just means we get scenes of them doing nonsense. There was a scene later in the episode, I think, where like one of the women were with their kids. And I wish I had the exact example because then it would have to be Jennifer, but I don't know what she was doing. But there was like a moment with kids where I was like, oh, this is cute. But watching Jackie for 5 minutes cut her kids' hair, that was unnecessary.
I think the difference is because it was Jennifer with her daughter visiting her mother. And I enjoyed that scene, period, because I like Jennifer's mother.
Me too.
But I love this storyline where she's like this ogress who nobody can live with. And I don't think that's exactly true, but I still think it's kind of funny to see it that way. And then like she's like, you know, she's starting to see where things are different with her father and how he's not perfect. But like, I think like a lot of us, she spent so much time like not liking one parent that she kind of excused the bad behavior of the other. And I think she's kind of like realizing that. But I think it's cute. Like, I like to see Jennifer with her children, period. Like, I like her kids. Well, not that boy. Not the oldest boy. But he's not really involved in anything. Uh-uh. So to go from that to Jackie pretending like she's cutting hair or, you know, doing a good job with her kids who, like, are kind of, like, weird on camera. and the boy is, like, acting like surgery is being committed to him. Like, she's just cutting your hair. Like... He looked like he was in agony, and I don't understand why. Why that was. So it was just weird.
I'm surprised Jackie's still on the show.
I think this will be her last season, I think.
You said that earlier.
Yeah, I think that she and Teresa are going to be in a good enough space for the finale, for them to be next to each other at that party. But then I think once they start talking about it at the reunion again, I think Teresa's going to get riled up and she'll want her gone and she'll get it because Teresa gets what she wants.
And we've seen what Jackie has to offer. So you have to choose between Teresa and Jackie. It's a no brainer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I felt it was a real low point watching Jackie give haircuts in the yard. Yeah. Didn't want to be watching it.
So if this is the end of Housewives and that's why we're getting All-Stars, scenes like this make me understand why.
True. Now, who is this woman that I have to watch and why is she going on trips with the cast?
Isn't it Lexi? Margaret's assistant?
Yeah.
Like, was she testing?
Samaj said yes. I didn't know that. I thought it was just like a... Because she's been in the background for a few years now. But I just thought this was a one-off. But then Samaj said, yeah, she was a friend of this season.
I think sometimes her Chiron says, like Marge's creative director. like, what does Marge need a creative director for?
My thing is, like, why did Marge get a friend of? She's not somebody I would think that she, you know, would get a friend of. Like, I thought that was kind of an odd choice. And then it's this woman who,
yeah.
I mean, she didn't, I mean, I guess she still knew at being a friend of, but she didn't do shit but sit in the back and laugh. I'm used to Marlo. Like, you need to be doing something. Like, you should be, it's like a supervisor at a job. You should always be busy or looking busy or doing something. Yeah. Like, don't just sit back.
Marlo is a friend of the Housewives with a capital F. She is the gold standard for what needs to be happening if you are to even come close to that title.
Marlo's like a friend of the entire canon of Housewives. Like, she's laid some groundwork.
Yeah, they don't even call her friend up anymore. It just her Chiron just says Marlo now. She's earned her keep.
All right.
Shamia's like that too, though. Shamia, the unsung hero.
I like Shamia a lot. I would like Shamia to get closer to a Peach.
Let's not get crazy. I forget that Shamia exists, but then like she'll pop and I'm like, oh yeah, Shamia, I like her.
I don't know if I've said this here before, and I know it's not going to be popular. Marge doesn't set me on fire as a housewife.
No, she doesn't.
You neither, Quinn?
Quinn, really?
No. I would rather her mother. I mean, oh, I just
love her mother.
Don't get me wrong. I like Margaret. She took a hit from me when she was a real baby about her ponytail, but I got past that. But as far as like everything else, like, you know, she's pushed people in pools. Like, she's done more than Jackie has for sure. But as far as housewives go, no, I've seen better. We've all seen better.
Margaret is the only one that I like actively like. I know that others.
That's not true.
It is. Who else?
You mean in the cast of New Jersey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Other people might bring better drama or be better TV, but in terms of like, which housewife's your favorite? She's the only one that I actively like. So how I said about Salt Lake, where I have one least favorite and everyone else is at the top. This is the opposite. Like, I have Margaret at the top and everyone else is just below her somewhere.
Oh, I think Dolores is my favorite on New Jersey.
I like her.
I don't dislike Marge. I just feel like it's a lot of the same beats. It's a lot of the same kind of like, I'm having a freak out. Joe. Like, it's a lot of the same stuff. I don't know.
Wait. He came at her about her packing. What did she say to him? She was like, I don't need the violence or something. She said something that was funny. She was like, I don't need the violence.
She did. Poor guy doesn't know how to make an iced coffee. But it seemed like it was just from a bottle.
I would like to see Margaret like cleaning her mother's house like every week. Because that's one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Her dealing with her mother is one of my favorite things about her being on the show.
I do love her mother. Other side characters that I love, and I didn't realize we were watching like a 6-minute scene with not a housewife in it, but we watched like a full arc with David and Big Frank. I think I'd watch a spinoff with the husbands and the boyfriends. I love them.
I wouldn't go that far, but it was captivating.
You mean as boyfriends, like they openly say that they have sex together?
No, I would watch that more, but I would even watch like, I don't know. I liked it. It's interesting when like the show is able to get men to talk about their feelings. Like, all these shows are just people who are talking about their feelings. So to see husbands who are like, you know, David, I don't know. You don't. Like, I like when they're expressing themselves.
I don't know. They went to a gun range. I need to see who everybody voted for. Maybe.
We all agree that they're poly, right? Like, there's some dibble dabbling between Frank and Dolores and Jezebel. And what we are seeing, I think they both love Dolores and they both love each other. And I think that they each have alone time with Dolores, if you catch my trip.
And now Frank Jr. has two dads.
That might be true. Donnie.
Yeah. I don't think that
get over there.
I don't think that they like do anything together, but I do think there is some kind of untraditional relationship with the three of them.
Did you guys catch when they got to the house? And I don't even know if like they knew that they were on camera, even though they were mic'd, but like Teresa's outside and Marge kind of walks up behind her and says, oh, we should have brought the gummies with us.
I didn't see that.
I was like, wow. Loved that. That was good. That was good. I love that they put it in too. Okay. One last thing for Jersey. I like when Teresa called Gia, and Gia's advice, and I wrote it down because it just like summed everything up in one little like packet. Gia says, you're upset because she said something about me. She's upset because you said something about her marriage, and not for nothing. If you went about it in a shitty way that upset her, then you should apologize, because I'm sure you weren't happy when cheating rumors were going on about you and dad. If you upset her, say sorry. I mean, give Gia Tomato or something, because that is some emotional intelligence well beyond her years.
Oh yeah, she's the smartest one out of the whole cast for sure. The only, and everything she said, yes, absolutely, 100%. The only reason I can see why Teresa wouldn't want to do it is because Jackie is the one that spread those rumors last year about Teresa. So in terms of
Yeah, she has a grudge.
Yeah. It's not like Teresa did this and then Jackie said the Gia stuff after as like revenge. Teresa doing this at the party was the revenge from what Jackie did last year.
Definitely. I wonder if they're going to give Gia like her own little talking heads to help, I don't know, help flesh out her reaction to the situation. But I'm still loving Jersey. I'm excited to see.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I am upset about next week.
What happens next week?
Next week is when, so for us, we got the preview that said, we got the preview that showed Teresa calling Joe and saying, Melissa's texting the waiter from the restaurant. Mm. So like, that's whatever. But then in, I think, Canada, there's another preview from another country going around for the same episode. And they're like, the girls decide to play a prank on Joe. And then it cuts to Teresa saying that. So we just got faulty editing to get us excited. And I'm pissed.
I hate that. Know Me that. I hate that.
Yeah. I hate that too.
Yeah.
All right. Not a great note to leave the Garden State, but
sorry, had to keep you updated.
Yeah, we will. We'll head over to Atlanta.
So in Atlanta, we have the aftermath of Bolo. Hurricane Bolo. We started basically hearing that Cynthia is a voyeur and that she pleasured herself thinking about the women. So I think we all know that by women, she meant candy, right? Because I do not think she was in there thinking about Marlo.
I was shocked. I can barely speak talking about it, but we've always seen some kind of lead up between the two of them, but I guess it finally found its release.
So to speak. I think it's funny to see like somebody like Cynthia, like, I mean, I think Cynthia very much would be a voyeur. Like, she seems to have that personality to me. I don't think that should be a surprise to her that she would like that. But I thought it was cool that she like, that they have a friendship where they can be open about stuff like that. Because like, I don't know if I can like walk up to any of my friends and be like, yeah, like, you know, I beat off to you. Great. But I don't know anybody I think I would be comfortable saying that to. Just like at lunch in front of the God.
And let me just tack on to that really quick, Quinn. Mike later watched this episode. So I don't know if you have friends you could say that to, but I can assure you, you don't have a husband that would be okay with you.
Heard. So afterwards, we get to Drew and LaToya doing this little, I hope this new little dance we see them do often. LaToya comes for Drew again about Drew's behavior at the bachelor party and the whole husband comment that was made in previous episodes. And Drew has to settle down her biggest fan. I love this. We have a little bit of like Roadrunner or Wile E. Coyote thing going on here. I love to see it. I feel like LaToya set and she like thought about stuff a little bit and thought she could come back and do something. And Drew was like, get that shit out of here. Do we want them to actually be friends or do we want them to keep carrying this on? Because I kind of want to see it more.
I don't like LaToya. I find her to be like very thirsty. And she didn't even make sense because like Candy pointed out after that, she was like disparaging some of the women's behavior, but then upset because Kenya was being judgy. And Candy was like, you're not making any sense. I at least need friends of or hangers on to make sense. Like just make sense with what you're doing. So in addition to being like thirsty and a little much, it's very clear she's just like doing anything she can to see what sticks to the wall, but it has to work in some kind of like logical framework.
Yeah. If she is going to stick around though, I don't want them to be friends. I think that they have the friendships that they have, but I think Atlanta works best when they all kind of can read and shade each other along the way. Like, I know we have our alliances, like Cynthia and Candy and Kenya, and those three are kind of like untouchable to each other. But then I like that all of the other women, even like Candy and Portia and Cynthia, whatever, I like that they can, there's no real loyalties. And that's what I need to stay constant in Atlanta. So no.
I feel the same way. Like, I'm not a huge fan of LaToya, but I feel like the more I see LaToya, the more she grows on me, including her, like, having that whole conversation they had and busting down the entire plate of food. Because she was going in on that food. Like, just, I respected that, actually. So that was a tick in her column for me. So speaking of LaToya and the Kenya thing, so Kenya interrogates everybody yet again. I think Kenya thinks that she's Tom Cruise and everybody else is Jack Nicholson. Is she, like, she's taking this too far, right? Like, this is, I'm getting annoyed by it. I get that this is going to be a thing now, but I feel like she's really going hard for this, obviously hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Oh, go ahead, Anthony.
No, it's frustrating because it wouldn't, she's doing it. Like, she's going to do it. I just feel like these other women can't get out of their own way to shut it down. Like, Portia, I might be jumping ahead. At the dinner, Portia should just have said, yeah, I had sex with Bolo, and what? What's the problem? Or if she didn't, should have said, I did not have sex with Bolo. And if I did, I would talk about it because I'm not ashamed. But now whatever happened seems to be growing, like it's mushrooming because there's not an ownership of their sexuality. When really, like, they're handing Kenya this plot point to run with.
I see that, but I don't, it's not, Portia doesn't have to say anything. Like, she doesn't have to give an answer one way or the other. Like, if she has sex with whoever she wants to, fine. She could be able to be like, yeah, I did it, or no, I didn't. But she also could just be like, I don't have to answer your questions. I don't need to answer to you.
And
I think that's the space this is opening up inside of.
And that's what happened at the dinner. And she did a very good job handling it, I think. She wasn't feeding into what Kenya was saying. She
disengaged.
Yeah, she did. Which, that I need to look inside myself and see why I liked it with Portia then. But there can't be a plot if you are disengaging in it. So for Portia to disengage at that dinner, I thought it was great. You can't really do anything with it if you're yelling at Portia about what she did and she's not answering. But then later in the episode, we do see her talking about it. And if she's going to let this feed into her and get a reaction out of her, then she just might as well handle it in the beginning. Like, why hold off on it?
Yeah, and then, like, now with the justification, like, Kenya saying, like, you know, her daughter was there and that it was improper, you should do it at home. That's giving me, like, flashbacks of Beverly Hills vibes, and I don't need any flashbacks for Beverly Hills. I hate when they do that. It's not ever a good place to go. But,
well, yeah, and we knew that it was going to be a dungeon party before it was, and mm-hmm. we also know that Portia's baby is staying at a, like, pool house or whatever on property, but not in the house. So why
Kenya's baby?
Yeah. So why? Oh, yeah. Sorry. So why bring Brooklyn into that house with the stripper still in the house? Whether you wanted that or not, you can tell them they're all whores and, like, are bad friends in the morning. But if the problem is your baby being in that house, don't bring your baby into that house.
Definitely.
And then during this whole thing, we have a surprising turn of events and kind of stupidity where Tanya confirms that she was in Portia's room all night. Now, was she thinking that this was going to help Portia? Like, I can't understand why she would do that.
She's just not that bright.
What it sounds like to me. Yeah, because we knew Kenya's been saying it was a threesome this whole time. So for her to say I was there too isn't really covering anything.
I don't know. It seems like maybe she just thought it was going to help her somehow. Like, there's owning the truth in a way that takes the power away from people. And then there's owning being honest about something and not having the foresight to understand that you're confirming something that someone thought and Tanya miscalculated.
Yeah.
Mm. I think that's true. So we follow that up with, like, this cute scene with Cynthia and Drew telling their husbands about what happened and Bolo's appendage. Which I thought was really cute. I mean, it's what happens when, you know, you know, being in a relationship, you know, I guess you have to accept that you're going to, like, your spouse or whoever's going to see other people who are sexually attractive, and you have to be able to talk about that. And I think they did a good job, especially for straight people. I do love that Nasty Mike went too far, but that's to be expected because Mike nasty. Like, Mike is so nasty. But I thought it was a cute moment between Cynthia and Mike.
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was really fun. And it was even Drew's husband. I mean, I got a little nervous when she was telling him what she did. But I think they both handled it well in their own lanes. Like, it felt good and healthy.
Yeah.
I think, if I'm remembering it the right way. Like, I felt like, oh, okay, this went well.
I agree.
Yeah, I feel like with Drew and Ralph, it was like, all right, don't talk about that anymore. Like, we could have said it, let's leave it on. And I feel like Mike and Cynthia probably had sex because of it afterwards. I think it's just two different vibes.
Yeah. Cynthia did say on Watch What Happens Live that watching the episode got Mike pissed because he felt like there was details left out of her telling him about it that once he saw it was like a little harder to watch. Mm. And then she was like, but I had alcohol, so I didn't really know everything that happened.
True, because okay. They were drinking.
They were.
But I love how she put her hands up like, I did not touch anything.
The windshield wiper.
Oh my God. So we get into the story about how there was like the sounds of a threesome and all that stuff, you know. When they get back, Candy tells Don Juan that she heard the noises too because her room is on the opposite end of the hallway as Portia's. So first off, I love that Don Juan seemed pissed from jump.
That whole conversation, he seemed pissed.
He was pissed up until he got the tea. Once he got the tea, then he opened up and he was happy. But up until then, he was like pissy as fuck. I don't know what went on, but I enjoyed to see that. Enjoyed seeing that. So now, like with what you were saying, Candy saying that she heard it now is going to push this even further.
Well, this was the first time. I feel like every time I talk about it, I have a new idea of what really happened in that house. I had myself thinking that maybe Kenya was the one that did it and she like said it before anyone else could, whatever. But now that Candy said she heard noises from Portia's room, now I believe it. I just needed Candy to validate. And now I'm on board.
So the scene with Don Juan and Candy, Don Juan always seems irritated, doesn't he? Like, he's always like looking off to the side, checking his watch. Like, he can barely be bothered. Ever since he came on the scene, he's like, what happened now? Like, he just can't deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Candy confirmed, I think. Well, Candy confirmed Portia's name, and then Tanya helped everyone confirm Tanya's name, which are the two names that were floated about in the press when this was being filmed. The press. The New York Times. I mean, it's this probably happened, and it's fine that it happened. They don't have to be honest about it because it is their business, but there's like a perceived level of shame that I feel gets like erodes the night where they were all like sexually free. Like, even Kenya's like, who did this? Feels like she woke up the next day and was like embarrassed to have been writhing around on the ground.
Yeah.
Whereas I would have liked more of a, like in previous seasons when like Luann has slept with someone, like the next day she's just like copping to it. Totally happened. And I wish we got a little bit more of that instead of this, like, we got like this really nice episode where everyone was like sexually free, liberated, and it felt revolutionary. And now it feels like a little bit of that vibe got like sucked back in a little bit. And it's all like shame now. And I just wish it was a little more not.
And when I said like last episode, I was like, I'm not used to seeing Black women be that liberated. And this is what I'm used to seeing. So the other shoe dropped.
Yeah.
That's when, and then LaToya showed up at King's photo shoot with an entire cake. Now, I love how LaToya likes to eat. We're bonding over that. But like, who brings an entire cake to a photo shoot, though?
A photo shoot.
I wish more people would do it, but I just don't know who does it. Like, you can always bring me a full cake at any time and I'll be happy to get it. But it was like so odd.
Yeah.
So then we have this whole thing where Kenya makes this argument about being betrayed by LaToya. And all the while, like, it's funny to me, like, she's saying all this stuff about the stripper, but then she's like, I have a crush on you, and I'm jealous ever since you got with Portia, and that Portia's brainwashed her. I did not know what to make of this scene. They're sitting there smashing this cake. What is this? Like, I don't understand what's going on here. Is this sexual tension? Like, what is it? Because Kenya requires absolute devotion, or is she, like, seriously, like, jealous because she really is into LaToya? I can't tell.
I have been very confused since the beginning of the season about why Kenya thought she didn't have any allies on the show. Like, maybe I'm misremembering. I don't know why she went in so hard with LaToya. She was in a good place with Candy, with Cynthia. She started this season off in a good place with Portia, unless I'm not remembering right. I don't know why Kenya thought she was on like an island and needed to align with LaToya. I kind of like glaze over their scenes a little bit. They feel like two people trying really hard to make a scene separately. And then when you put them together and they're the only two in it, I don't know. Something feels false to me.
Yeah. Even the fact that she used the word, I have a crush on you. If this was true, I don't think it would have came out like this. So I think they're just trying to, like you said, just make scenes and make moments.
Yeah. And then LaToya in the confessional saying, like, you know, this is huge. Kenya doesn't open up or whatever. I'm like, what are you talking about? What did you witness? I didn't witness anything of substance.
Right.
It just seemed like, you know, you're my friend, not her friend. Hate who I want you to hate. Like, mm-hmm. That's basically all I heard. She was an asshole. She's been an asshole consistently, and she doesn't want to be called out on it because she's having a rough time. Having a rough time with your husband and your child or whatever does not give you free rein to be an asshole to everybody, and she seems to think that it does. And right. I remember that she wanted to throw an event that nobody would come to unless she was throwing it with Candy. So she did have a problem at the beginning of the season with everybody. I don't know why exactly. She was cool with Cynthia. She was cool with Candy. But she started off questionable with Portia, and then Portia's sister didn't invite Kenya to that event. So there was a problem with her and Portia from the beginning of the season. And of course, her and Marlo just made up. And we all know that her and Tanya haven't been right since what happened with the cookie lady. So I do think she needed to have an extra friend. And she shaded Drew as soon as Drew struck on the scene. So she did need, she needed numbers. I get why she did what she did. But now, it's like she wants to consistently have bad behavior and have no repercussions from it. And now she's breaking girl code on this damn bachelorette party, which I'm still trying to figure out exactly why she's doing it. I don't know her motivation. Is it to distract from her husband? But we're seeing that. We're talking about that.
Well, Kenya said today on a Instagram Live that she did not break girl code because she said, for there to be a girl code, you have to be girls. And she said, me and Portia are not friends. Me and Tanya are not friends. So all I did was talk about women that I witnessed something with. And the woman interviewing her was like, so if it was Candy or Cynthia, would you have said anything? And she said, my friends would never do anything like that. But if they did, no, I wouldn't have said anything.
Oh, God. Wow. To the very end.
mental gymnastics to like try and keep herself in the right.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know she said that, but it sounds just like something her ass would say. So I just
well, wait, am I when she said that, it made sense to me. Does that make me crazy?
No, just wrong. Like, you can't have separate rules set in your head for like they were their ass friends. So like I get what she's saying.
Yeah.
It's just in this drama.
It's such a big thing to commit to. Like, I wouldn't want my arc for the last half of the season to be like, I demand to know who was having sex with Bolo. Like, and then when people are like, why do you care? Like that fight to keep like trying to convince yourself why you're right to care about this thing. Like, that seems exhausting to me.
It does.
Like, who cares?
It does.
Yeah.
On a lighter note, though, of the episode, we had Noelle pointing out Cynthia's ashy feet. I think Cynthia's ashy feet were like the lower half of the Zoom call version of this filming. Like, I cannot believe her feet look like that.
I liked her openly referring to filming. And she was like, oh, God, they're probably zooming in right now.
Yes. They are. And it,
what? I loved it.
And then she hit her foot.
Yeah. It was good.
I laughed for a good 5 minutes. Noelle was wrong for that. That was violence. That was it would have been rude enough to do that in front of just her aunt and her grandmother. That would have been rude enough. But to do it on national TV. But at the end of the day, that's what Cynthia gets for going on national TV, barefoot and ashy. So you get what you get.
Noelle consistently comes for her mother. Remember when they had that conversation about whether or not they should invite Cynthia's dad? Like, they went there to have a conversation. And then at the end, Noelle casually said, I think it's very clear what has to happen here. Right? Wow.
I love Noelle. I'm down for it.
Me too.
Yeah.
So,
bisexual queen.
We finish. She was like, serious. She was like, I left LA for this shit. So at the end of the episode or near the end, we see Kenya with her divorce attorney. And we found out that Mark has been sending Kenya love songs because apparently that's the only way that he can communicate with her about how he feels when he's like, I don't know, drunk late at night. And then he files for divorce in New York and asks for alimony. That's not funny.
It's funny because of how, and I don't know if it was edited like this or what, but she was like, Mark's been sending me love songs. And then he's like, well, he's been sending me this.
You want to sing to that?
In New York.
It was so funny. When he said that he wasn't going to ask for any money, I knew that he would. That scene when he was like, I built it myself. I'll build it again.
All right.
I guess COVID changed that, huh?
Well, now, she did tweet this yesterday, and she said, for the record, Mark withdrew the divorce petition the next day and said that he was not asking for alimony in the filing and that we misinterpreted New York law. There's been no further divorce action to date. This scene was taped months ago. So what I'm hearing, I don't know why she would say that publicly, what I'm hearing is this was just for show.
Or New York is the scapegoat in their relationship like it always has been.
That's true, too.
Yeah, that was a dark scene. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it corrected itself a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was tough to watch.
Hashtag
not for me. I laughed through the whole damn thing.
Oh, my God.
Like, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, and I did think the lawyer himself was funny. He was making me laugh, and I don't even know why.
What's his name?
Altavius
Weers, right? Or something. What's his last name? It's like Gustavin Meeners or something. It was so good.
Yeah, I said his name randomly, and Quinn wasn't watching the screen. He thought I was doing a spell or something. I was like, Altavius.
What in the Harry Potter? That wraps up Atlanta.
So, what are any final thoughts from everyone?
Don't go on TV with ashy feet. Ever. It's not a good idea. Keep you some moisturizer in your pocket, in your purse. Spit'll do in a pinch, but that's nasty.
Jesus.
Spit'll do in a pinch.
And this can all be said about bachelorette parties as well. We're really versatile over here.
Spit is very versatile, yeah.
My final thought is, if we're going to be talking about what's happening on social media, I will need like proof on screen. Just flash it up there for us to read, but having it be very like Camille grammar. I never said that. I don't like to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Especially if the proof is out there. I want the proof too. Yeah.
Hard evidence.
Yeah.
So independent of my lackluster feelings for Marge, there were some shots in this scene, in this episode of New Jersey, where I thought Marge's mouth and face was a special effect. It opened up so wide, I thought she was unhinging it. Can you please acknowledge that did you see it too? Like, there are scenes where it's like, how is that mouth opening that wide?
I didn't pick up on that.
I picked up on that a long time ago when she called Beverly Trout Mouth. And I thought, wow, that's a bold claim from you, madam.
Yeah. That's the fish calling the...
That's the tuna calling the fish something.
Wet.
The tuna calling the trout wet.
Oh my gosh. Okay, what are we doing? Oh, I think if I had a crystal ball, I don't have a crystal ball, but if I had one, I think I would be able to look into it and say that not only do I think this is Jackie's last season, I feel like this might also be Kenya's last season. I know that. Thank you for listening. If you would like to support the show, be sure to visit buymeacoffee.com/knowthatpod. Be sure to check out our new blog posts that are released every Wednesday-ish alongside our episodes at www.knowthatpod.com. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at KnowThatPod. If you would like, you could follow me at Anthony F. Casella on Instagram.
You can follow me at Real Donniewood on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me, Quentin Lamar, at Quentin Lamar on Twitter.
Please continue to listen and subscribe for free to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows. Bye.
Bye.